Well, this morning, we're going to go back over. I want you to turn this morning to Mark, the fifth chapter. We're teaching on the three parts of faith. I was going to do a little bit different. I had, you know, some scriptures that I put in the bulletin. We're going to use one of them, but a larger section. The Lord spoke to me about it because there's something He wants me to emphasize. In this subject, and we talked about the three parts of faith, the part to believe with your heart, and then to say with your mouth. That's part of what we do. We speak our faith, and we're going to find this, and then there's the acting on faith. So we have to act on it. You know, we're going to find out as we go on in teaching this, you can believe something, but it never benefits you at all. You can believe things that will never benefit you. You know, I remember when I worked at HB Reese Candy Company and witnessing to people, talking to people, there was a guy there who he believed that he needed to be born again. He believed that Jesus was Lord. He needed to be saved. He's a believer. People say, well, you know, this person believed that they're a believer. No, they weren't. He believed it was true, but he said he didn't accept Christ because he didn't want to change his life. So see, his believing, he believed the truth, but it produced nothing. Amen. It doesn't produce anything. See, we have this, and people come along and say, well, I believe Jesus is the Lord. I've run into loads of people like that. They ain't saved. And I've had the majority of Christians, oh, they're a Christian because they believe that. No, if they haven't received it and acted on it, it ain't produced nothing. Amen. And they will one day, if they don't change that, open their eyes in hell. It is not enough to believe, you know. It's just like, you know, it doesn't matter what you know. It only matters what you do with what you know. That produces something. If you ain't doing nothing with it, to know it is of no avail to you. It doesn't benefit. So we're looking this morning in this area. I want to go to Mark the fifth chapter. The Lord reminded me because these are one of the things that the Lord dealt with me personally on in these areas when I was first born again, dealing the areas of faith and healing and things. He made a lot of emphasis to me in this, and especially in the areas of acting in faith. And our actions to it. And we're going to, as we look at this day, we're going to look at two different people. I was going to just deal with the woman with the issue of blood. I wasn't going to talk about Jairus. You know, you folks have heard these scriptures. You've read these scriptures. But we want to look at them because, you know, you go over these things again. We need to keep our faith, especially we're living in a day and time. We can't become weak in faith. We got to maintain ourselves and feed ourselves and keep ourselves strong, keep ourselves in a direction that we're walking. And I want you to see today, one of the things we're going to look at in the beginning to look at here is this in verse 21. We're going to start what happens with Jesus here. Verse 21, the fifth chapter, Mark says this. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Now, he says a great multitude. When you think of a great multitude, we don't think there was a couple hundred people there. When it's a great multitude, there must have been thousands of people there. So there's a huge multitude of people gathered there with him there. But I want you to see what happens. And you need to get a hold of this principle, the Word of God. One of the greatest things that many people deal with is the fact is we can look at ourselves as a Christian. Sometimes you can be going through things and you can sort of, even though you know Jesus is Lord and all that, but you know, when you're asking God for something, sometimes you can feel like, you know, I'm sort of like all alone. Well, I'm living in an earth here with billions of people and I'm just this speck here. I'm just this thing. And I want you to show it because there's a principle that falls here that we need to see and understand that will help your faith and understand about why you want to operate in faith. Because we have here in verse 22, it says, behold, he said, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and he saw him. He fell at his feet. So this guy, we're going to see what he does. Now, it's important what he does. You know, it's one thing as this man comes along. You don't fall at your feet before a person unless you figure they're superior to you. In other words, he's treating him, if we would say from their vernacular in their day and time, he's treating him like he's a lord. That's what he's treating him like by doing what he's doing. You know, we don't have that. You know, people don't come and follow their feet before the president, you know, and that kind of stuff. Here, he comes and falls at his feet. And then he said, and begged him earnestly, saying, now I want you to see what he said, because here's an important thing. He makes a statement of faith. What would happen if Jesus does what he says? He makes this statement. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Did you hear his statement of faith? He didn't say, which most people do today, and I see people do this. People believe things, but what they say out of their mouth is really sort of lame to what they believe. This guy says, look, this is what I believe. You come and lay your hands on my daughter. She's going to live. That's it. See, most people do this. Would you pray for me? Wow, what do you believe is going to happen? See, people never say anything. What do they believe is going to happen when they get prayed for? He voices what he believes is going to take place. See, he spoke his faith. See, most people never speak their faith. They never believe what's going to happen when they pray. Or they never believe it's going to happen when you ask somebody else to. They just say, pray for me. What if we start doing? I want you to get this principle. The Lord taught me this. Spoke to me about this. And see, I've learned, if I'm going to go, like, say, have somebody lay hands on me for something, I say, when they lay hands on me, the power of God is going to go into me, and whatever it is, whether it's anointing, whether it would be for healing, whatever it might be, this is what's going to happen to me. See, most people go to the prayer line and they're dead silent. They're dead silent. That's not how it works. See, voicing what you expect is going to happen. This is what's going to happen to me. This is what's going to take place. Because I want to show you what happens. See, in the areas of faith, this is one thing I learned many times that people, you can pick up easily lots of times with people whether they're in faith or not. You can pick it up easy with them. Yeah, just listen to them a little bit. Or see how sound they are. What's their reaction? How do they act about what they're doing? You can find out, figure out where a person's at. You understand this. God's not moved just because we want something, because we like to have something. That's not what moves him. If it did, he would just be chasing everybody and doing everything. He's not. I want you to see this. This man, understand, and I opened up because, why, there's a multitude. There's a multitude of people. This man comes and makes this statement to Jesus, and it said, now listen, verse 24, and it said, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed and thronged him. This guy steps out by faith. Now, here's today. Here's the church today. You got a multitude. Well, one guy ain't enough to chase after. We're going to stick with the multitude. Because, see, you know, we have a bigger meeting here with the multitude. Jesus ain't moved by multitudes. He's moved by faith. Amen. You need to understand this about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is moved by faith, not numbers. It's moved by faith. A multitude's here. One man steps out in faith, and we're going to find this. This multitude, there's only two people in faith. And it ain't any of them of the disciples. You understand this? Two people. What moved Jesus? Faith moves the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I don't do nothing that I don't see the Father do. I don't say anything I don't hear the Father say. He's operating in the kingdom. The kingdom spots faith, and the kingdom immediately moves toward faith. Mm-hmm. Smith Wigglesworth said this, God will move over 1 million people to get to one person standing in faith. You need to understand it. See, we're never alone. We're never insignificant. When you actually operate in faith, God will move right towards you.
Amen.
You've got to get that within yourself. See, people call themselves with faith. Something isn't changed instantaneously. We want to find out about this, about it going. What are you doing concerning your faith? You need to be convinced. Once you responded to God by faith, He's moving in your direction. You got to become convinced. He's on your case. He's on to whatever it is you said that you believed would happen. You got to get convinced of that. This is what faith's about. Most people are trying to get into faith at the time that they're praying or doing what they're, that's their tenth. They're missing the whole thing. They're missing what it's about. God is moved by your faith. He is not moved. I hear preachers say all the time, so-called faith preachers, God's moved by your need. Well, sure He was. He sent Jesus because of my need. But that don't mean my need's going to get met. I got to respond to Jesus. I got to respond by faith to what He did, and it's something I must believe in my heart, and I got to get it out of my mouth, and then I'm going to have to act like it's true. You know the hardest time to act like it's true? When it don't look like it's working. Mm-hmm. This is where most people fail, when it doesn't seem to be working. When it seems like, man, I'm the only guy, and everything seems to have passed over me. Everybody else around me is getting blessed, and here I stand. Have you ever been there? If you ain't been there, you ain't lived in your life. I'm going to tell you. Everybody runs there. But this is the time of faith. This is when faith saw. This is the time it's so important of how you act. Because your actions will either fortify your faith or it'll destroy it. Your actions. You know, it's just like, you know, Brian talking about, you know, this guy going through this thing. Now, it seems like it's lingering on a whole long period of time. Well, you can just, well, maybe, you know, God has another plan here. Maybe God, you can get over there. But, or you can just stay happy. And hey, I asked God to help in this situation. And He'll do everything He can to help in this situation. He ain't moved by time. We are. And, you know, we've all done this. We've let time run out ourselves. God didn't run out of time. We did. We got over the point. Well, you know, it's maybe God don't want it. We start turning the time clock that we have set. God's working. And so this guy here, he comes up and he makes a statement of faith. And Jesus, He's the Son of God. He's not doing anything that God don't do. He's acting just like, in other words, I can look and say, this is exactly what God would do. I operate in faith and God will say, come on, let's go to your house. Oh. That's what He's going to do. The whole multitude's there. He's not moved by the multitude.
Amen.
He's got to take care. God has to take care of the faith person. If He don't, He's a fraud and a liar.
Amen.
I'm not sorry. People say, well, God loves everybody the same. That's true, but He don't move for everybody the same. You've got to understand that. Just because He loves you, He'll do more for it. If it'll operate in faith. If you don't operate in faith, He'll do more for other people to operate in faith. He can love you exactly the same, but He's moved by faith. That's what He's moved by. Hallelujah. And see, believing is in our nature. That's in our nature, is to believe God. That's in our nature. And we need to talk about what we believe. We need to be thankful, you know. When God does something good, say it. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's working. He's doing good.
Amen.
So Jesus, this is immediately, He goes on, the guy asks Him. Jesus, it says He went with him. Now the multitude is following. And it says they're thronging Him. There's the multitude. Now, this guy's heading to his house. He's going there, you know. Hey, whew, man. I'm getting Jesus going to my house. Here's another thing you're going to find out in this story. There's two people involved. And both of them end up having what they want by their belief, not God's. You're going to determine what God does in your life. God doesn't. God tells us what He wants to do. We decide the level we want to believe it at. We decide that. We do it. Get this in yourself. Get this in your mind. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's just average Christian teaching, you know, God, you know, well, you know, I've had this over time. People call, ask me to pray for something and they say, now we don't want anything God don't want. You know, we just want, you know, well, I say, no, I just got to tell what's good praying. If you don't know what God's want, there ain't no point in this. I ain't wasting my time praying. We ain't, I got no agreement here. What do you want? Where can you stand? Well, if you don't know what God is, you got to find out. Doesn't matter what I can believe. You, it's for you. You know, see, there's one thing that's, I found this out a long time ago. Just like dealing with Brian here, dealing with a guy. Now, this guy, he's a Christian, but he's not taught well. He don't know. Lots of times you can get things for people like that who don't know. God will bear witness and do things to bear witness to them of He's good. Because, see, his church ain't teaching him that God wants him well. You know, God might want to kill him for a reason. You know, God might want to send him off to heaven, you know, for a purpose. And like God's lonely or something. I don't know. But anyhow, well, they don't know that. And lots of times I can easily get God to move concerning a person in that condition or that state. Also, sometimes you're just dealing with a person who's a baby Christian. Lots of times baby Christians, you can get stuff for them. Seeing doing that, you know, it's easy to do. So walking by faith. But, you know, generally speaking, you and I, if we know something, God has an expectation that we walk in the light of that.
Amen.
Walk in the light that we have. We have to do that. And we do. He responds to you. See, one of the wonderful things I found out about this, about faith was, I didn't have to run to get somebody else. When I found out God would respond to my faith, we got people here, and God, we're going to learn something because, see, God responds to their faith. Jesus never said, well, whatever God wants, this is going to happen. He never said nothing like that. Never said anything like that. Never talked like that. You can only get that from people who don't know God. They don't always like. So Jesus is heading, there's a multitude thronging Him. Now, see, there's no miracles because of multitudes. Now, sometimes we find Jesus did a lot of healing in places, but you know when sometimes there are manifestations of gifts of the Spirit, but you'll find out there's little of that. It's about people. It talks about they came to hear and be healed. hear and be healed? See, here, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. See, God is always going to move you in the area to use faith. If we follow and look at people, and we're going to look at this stuff, God is always going to move an individual to do something by faith. He's always going to move in that. See, God is always moving people to faith. That's what he does. Even if you go, say, like, go to a meeting, you know, and I've been like, say, an Indian, a crusade and stuff like that. People come, they're another religion, they're Hindus and stuff, or some of them may be Muslims and things. And you get them healed at a drop, God will move and heal at a drop of a hat, mostly. But all of that is to move them to trust in Christ. That's the whole point. If they go, and I'm just going to tell you this, if they go and God moves and they don't respond to him, they probably won't get a second dip. It won't happen. See, God will manifest himself for people like that to show them that he's alive, that he's true, that you can respond to the gospel. Amen. And so that's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of those things. Well, here we have, this guy's under a covenant with God. He's a Jew. He's under a covenant with God. So Jesus says, okay, we're going to your house. So we're heading out. I just think Jesus is following that. I mean, today you would, I've heard ministers, they get upset, you know, if the meeting, because to have the crowd, to keep the crowd is the best thing, even when the crowd is mostly faithless and are so-called believers. They won't move toward the faith, they'll move toward the crowd. Well, here we have Jesus doing that. Now they're going along, he's crowded. Now there's another thing that happens in verse 25 says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, first of all, she heard about Jesus. So in other words, she heard about him. She wasn't in a meeting. Somebody must have been at one of them and told her. Now understand where her faith was. She comes along in this because it says to her, she came behind the crowd and touched his garment. And then verse 28 says, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well. How did she know she could do it? She must have heard people were doing that and they were getting healed. And they were, so she heard about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus and she believed it. She believed it true. And in fact, she believed it so much. She said, well, if I go down there and I touch him, I'll get healed. I'll touch it, I'll get healed. See, she didn't say that. I don't get down there and see if this works. You know, God knows my family needs me. God knows. That's not faith. Everybody in this world, you know, God knows there's people who need their families, but lots of times it don't work out. Well, see, God knows that. That isn't what saves things. It's faith. She heard about Jesus, so somebody must have told her about it. You know, people, I mean, he's out there and people just touch his garment, they get healed. Well, she said, well, I'm gonna go do that. If I get down there and touch his garment, I'll get healed too. This is one thing as I know about her. She's quick to believe. Always be a person who's quick to believe. There's too many people that are always, you know, questioning everything. People who are questioning everything all the time, they never get nowhere and aren't going nowhere. Amen. Be quick to believe. Amen. You know, be quick to believe God's good. And God, if God wants to do anything good, he wants to do it to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to get, you know, a lot of people believe God wants to do a lot of good things for a lot of people, but for themselves, they can't go nowhere. Now, if God would heal anybody, he'd heal Ed.
Hallelujah.
He's not a respecter of persons. If he'd want to do good to anybody, he'd want to do it to Ed. Hallelujah. That's the way he is. I mean, I can't help it. He's the guy in the book and we believe in. That's the way he operates. And you can say the same thing for yourself.
Amen.
You know, a person years ago said, well, you know, that stuff's okay for Ed, but you know, it's not for everybody. Well, they had none of it. Hallelujah. They don't realize God had it all for them, but they couldn't get it.
Amen.
Because why? They didn't believe it was for them.
Amen.
You know, Some special God. Nobody's special because they get it. They just operated by faith. That's all they did. It's nothing special. Hallelujah. Made it, you know, hey, I never got faith myself. I got it from God. He was kind enough to give me his word so I could have faith. So I can't say, I just generated this great faith. No, I didn't. He gave it to me. He gave me the word and I just believed what it said. That's it.
Amen.
I just decided to believe it. And the same way with you. You just decide you believe it. It was given from God. Hallelujah. Faith came by hearing. I heard. Hallelujah. This lady heard. She heard it. She made a statement. In other words, she believed something. And then she turned around and said what she believed. Now, so she had made a statement. It says this here. It tells us in Scripture she had made this statement. If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well. Hallelujah. Well, he moved through the crowd. I want you to think about it. Now we're dealing with opposition. This woman here with a flow of blood, according to the law, she is not supposed to be in a crowd. She's not supposed to be there. In fact, you look at the law, just a woman having her regular menstrual cycle, if she's under the law, if she sits on a chair, you don't sit on the same chair that she sat on. If she got up and leaves a chair, you don't. Because then you got to go through a cleansing ritual. And her in a crowd, she's in a crowd with a flow of blood. According to the law, she could be stoned. See, you can find out. See, this is where people lose it. Because sometimes to carry out your faith can be something hard to do. See, we don't, you know, the Bible tells us he's called the good fight of faith. You know what's a good fight about the good fight of faith? If you follow it through, you win. But I'm going to tell you what, it don't say it's the fun fight of faith. Well, sometimes it ain't no fun at all. It ain't no fun. See, you come and believe. Here's what she believed. She believed, I can get to him. There's a multitude there. This is no easy thing for her to do. She's a woman who has had constant blood loss and that stuff all this time. Well, you know, anybody has constant blood loss, they like you're ready to play on the football team or anything. You know, you're not ready to do nothing. She has it says this crowd is thronging Jesus. She's got to move through this thing. That's all I got to say for this. This woman got faith. She believes that she'd get there, and she don't care what's in her way. Amen. Scripture says about the violent taking it by force. See, there's too many people, one of the reasons things don't happen and their faith doesn't produce anything, because they won't push through what it takes to go after it. They won't get to the point and say, hey, I'm going to have this thing. I don't care what's going on. So you got to have a faith like that. You have a faith like this woman. I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. What are you going to do? You know, there's many people like, you know, you take ministers and that stuff and ministries of the healing, like say with Benny Hinn's ministry and stuff like that. People will go to be healed. Yeah, many people go there. They're going to see if they can get something. There are some that go and believe they're going to get, when I get there, I'm going to get something. There's ones like that. I worked with Kenneth Hagin in 1989 at his camp meeting, and I was down in the handled the handicap section for him down there, and I talked to people and stuff and things, because you know you want to get these people in there, you want to, you know, and I found out over the years, I've worked with, you know, people in handicaps, and handicapped people get comfortable in their handicaps. They get used to taking care of them, things in there, and they don't like any kind of discomforts. Oh yeah, sometimes that's their great hindrance, as I've watched it. Oh, they say, I want to be well, made well, but they don't always want to do. Sometimes there's great difficulty. You know, Wanda and I were in that section, and I've told the story many times. We had this young woman, I think she was 17 years old, and she had married, and her husband, he wasn't like more than, I think like 17 or 18. They had gotten married. And she, had diabetes, and I mean, she was so bad. Her skin color was gray. And her fingers were starting to really rot, is what they were doing, and her toes and stuff, and she's in a wheelchair. And I mean, when you looked at her, you expected to see her in a box. I mean, that's what you expected. You see her. It's bringing them in. One thing was, I mean, they were, her and her husband, and there's one thing is that, you know, we could see, I mean, he loved her. And he pushed her down there, and he loved her. And you know, but, No complaint from these ones. Kenneth Hagin gets up, and he would always do this at camp meeting. He would always do in the opening camp meeting, he would always advise the people, he'd always tell the people in the handicap section, you make sure, and this was anybody else in the place needed healing, you make sure you get to the morning meetings because that's where we teach on faith. See, everybody wanted to be at the, what they called the excitement, watching the show. You know, seeing other people get healed. I don't know how, you don't get healed by watching other people get healed. You might know God heals because you saw something, but you need to develop your faith. And he always says, make sure you go to the morning things. Now, that one just tell you about handicapped people. That's a hard thing for them to do. And most of them won't do it. All the handicapped section in the morning, there's hardly anybody in it. The mornings, nobody'd come. Why? I want healed but don't make it hard for me. Ooh. See, I've heard people that they need healed. I'm not going to that meeting. Well, we got to travel so far to go there. Well, stay home and die. That's America. Everything's so darn hard. Don't ask. And you know, it's people, they say, pray for me. Ain't going to do no good. You ain't after this thing anyhow. Your healing ain't that important to you. I've had people ready, and I told them, I said, you know, you need to go to, like, say, a minute, like, go out to Rhema or something and sit in there, you know, go to the healing school and go out there for a week or two and sit and every day go in there and listen to teaching on healing. That's what you need, or you're going to die. And they died because they wouldn't go, well, no, I tell you, I have these things to do. Well, you have these things to do? Yeah. Don't worry. I got the sermon ready for the funeral. I got one. I got a good one. We'll preach to the living. You can't preach to the dead. See, I want you, how bad do you want what you said you want? What, how far would you, this lady, she went a long way. She wants something. She wants something. She ain't letting this thing alone. Hallelujah. I love her gumption. This is my kind of person here. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what you, somebody that wants something, and if we gotta go do what we gotta do to get it, we're gonna get it. I'm after that. See, she had a focus in her life. See, she's been after this thing, you know. I see people run and chase after a doctor run across the country, but they wouldn't drive 20 miles to go to a meeting to get healed. Well, they'll chase a doctor the whole way across the United States to get one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've watched people call themselves spirit-filled. I just don't know what that spirit they're filled with. I don't understand that one. But they won't run. They won't take. Say, oh, hold it. Now, you take an interest. I found out if I take an interest in God, it's like I take things in the natural. If I would take that interest in it and I push toward it, it's like success in anything. People don't become successful in life just generally because it falls on you. Maybe somebody was raised in a family and they got a business because it was just inherited. But generally, that ain't the way it happens. Most people have to do something. They have to go out and sacrifice things and do stuff to get to something. How bad do you want it? This woman wanted it bad. She made a statement, hallelujah, of her faith. Well, when she touched Jesus, it says immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples say, what? You see the multitude thronged around you, and you say, who touched me? Now what you say, these guys have been living with this guy, and they still don't know a thing about the anointing. They have not caught on at all following this guy. I've found that over the years. It always has amazed me. I see people been Christians for years and walking and following after ministry. I saw this when I went to Rhema. It blew my mind. There's Rhema students that never caught on. Never caught on to a thing. Sat through all the class. Never caught on to nothing. It was all just a mental thing that you do. And it's just, well, we're in a crowd. We just do this and we do that. And I'll tell you what, they had no faith. And in the same groups, you'd have others. And man, they just on it. Man, they got it and they're after it. You see, in the crowd, it don't matter who's following, it's who believes. Who's paying attention to what's going on. Hallelujah. They don't recognize the fact. Hallelujah. He said, who touched me? And verse 32 says, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Now, she came to tell him. What's the whole truth she told him? Well, we have today what it was, what she did. She told him how she heard about him, what she said, and she came through and did it. That's what she told him. Hallelujah. She told him what she did. That's why we have the record of it. Hallelujah. And the disciples were probably standing there, duh. Wonder where she got that from. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said to her, daughter, now I want you to see this. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He didn't say, daughter, I healed you. He didn't say, daughter, my faith did a thing. He said, daughter, your faith did this. Your faith moved God. I want you to know, faith carried out to the way it's supposed to, will always move God. Amen. Always. Faith will always move God. See, you need to get that. If you don't understand, she knew that when she arrived at the end of what she wanted, she was going to have it. She wasn't thinking about any of the stuff in between. It was only getting there and fulfill it. This is where people lose it, because if it takes time, they quit. I'm only interested in the end game. I don't care. It don't matter what's in between. God, if I'm standing in faith, I will always have the end result. So you got to come to that way of thinking. When I released my faith, I said this last weekend, get a hold of this. When you released your faith, your whatever it is that you're asking for, whether it's healing, whatever, deliverance, something or something, whatever, God puts money, whatever, it is already set in motion. It's already working. It doesn't say you can already see it. It's already working. God has already moved. When Jairus asked him to come, did God say, have patience, wait a week or two, and I'll come along to you? No. As soon as his faith started moving, God starts moving in that direction. See, we get caught on the thing as if we want to see the end result first, and then I'll believe it was working. That isn't how it works. If you're believing it when you don't look like anything's happening at all. She has an end result, and she's going to push through this crowd. She's putting herself in a position where she could die, trying to get life. That's why when I had a heart attack, that's why I went for a run. I knew I had it. I knew God. I knew I was in faith. I knew I could run and I wasn't going to die. I knew it. My inside of me, I knew it. Why? I responded in faith. God responded. Has to respond to me. If he don't, he's a liar. I don't have to serve him because he ain't no God anyhow. He ain't no better than the devil if he's a liar. Hallelujah. My God never lies. Amen. That's the whole point. You can stand with him. You can't always trust Ed, but you can trust him. You can always trust him. See, you get in that place. You got to become convinced that when you operate in an area of faith, God begins to move immediately for you. Immediately. We're finding in this situation. Hallelujah. She said, when I touch him, healing power. When did it start working for her? When she was going after that thing. She's going after that. Do you think God's saying, well, let's see what happens? I'm going to tell you what. I'll guarantee you there was probably angels there getting people out of the way for her so she could get there. It's a working. Faith always works. God's always involved when people are in faith. Always. And so you got to get yourself there that God, I've stepped out in faith. God's a worker. Don't, sometimes things go over a long period of time. You think, man, and it don't seem to be changing. But you just got to learn. That's where faith and patience inherits the promises. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. I've learned not to complain because I've watched people have stood and stood and stood and the things they went through in life. Hallelujah. And I come to the place, Ed, you ain't got no place to gripe. You ain't got a place to moan about this. If you do, you're a lying scumbag. You just, hallelujah, you just got to keep walking by faith. Hallelujah. God's a moving. God's working. Hallelujah. No matter what I see, don't bind God by your time. Hallelujah. Keep him moving by your faith. And as long as your faith stands, he's a moving. He's working to bring to pass for you what he said. He's working specifically at that. Well, we find out, and here's one thing as a revelation that I got from the Lord specifically. I've never heard anybody specifically teach on this. The Lord started dealing with me one time about this area of faith, of studying in here. In fact, I have one of the Bibles that I have, a study Bible that I do a lot of reading in. I have Bibles for different things. There's ones I preach from. There's ones I do my reading from and do stuff and things, different Bibles. I'm not just a marker in a regular Bible, you know, and I just tried that. I used to have so many marks. I wonder what on earth are we doing with all these marks in here? After a while, I couldn't hardly read what was in the book. I said, that's it. If people say, well, if you can't write in your Bible, you know, throw it away. It ain't no good. Well, I've said, you know, people say that because they think the most important thing that they said is everybody ought to have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, I just learned to take notes and put them on things and just, you know, I found it's a lot better. It's organized. And when I go back, I found out why I wanted to take a note on that. And many times in the Bible where I wrote, I thought, I wonder why I wrote that. The time it seems, but see, you can't write enough to explain yourself out sometimes to figure why you did, but you got a revelation and they're important. Those revelations that you get. So listen what happens. As soon as Jesus, verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter's dead, why trouble the teacher any further?" So these words are spoken. This guy has set himself in faith and direction. Jesus is following and here along, and I'm sure he's thinking, oh, this woman held up the crowd. This woman held up the crowd doing this thing. Hallelujah. But see, God's moved by faith. God's moved by faith. God never is changed. See, Jairus' faith is set in motion. We're going to find out. It has changed nothing what's happened to his daughter. It has changed nothing. We're going to find out. Jesus moves according to Jairus' faith, not what somebody says, well, maybe God wants or wants. He's moving. Heaven is moving according to your faith. This is why we need to understand. God, no matter what his perfect will is on the earth, as far as we go in faith is as far as he can move. We limit what God can do by how far we let our faith go. We either can take our faith a long way and do numbers of things or do just small things. We can do that. That God's determined by that. So, hallelujah. You know, there's many times that I felt bad about stuff. Man, I should have went further. I should have pushed my faith further than I did. Hallelujah. Well, some came and say that. And it says, as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, I want you to get a hold of this because this is something the Lord showed me. He didn't tell him what he was spoken. Well, believe I can raise her from the dead. He didn't say that. He said, you only believe. We're going to find out that Jesus followed Jairus' faith, not somebody else's or something else. The situation did not change the direction that God was moving in for Jairus. The situation didn't change it. And this is what the Lord told me as many times it's happening to people. They start out in an area of faith and situations change and they end their faith there and try to pick up faith on something else to deal with that thing. And what happens? They just ruin the whole thing. They're like starting all over again. Now I want you to see this with Jairus because this will help you. This helped me immensely because what happens is people get into their mind about things. They're walking in faith in the area because many times circumstances change and things and people change their faith and they annihilate everything they were believing before. And when the Lord showed me that, this was a huge help to me to see this, to understand what happened here. So he just told him, he said, hey, don't be afraid, only believe. Put a stop to it. Don't worry about this. Don't be afraid. In other words, don't worry. Well, she's dead. See, somebody, well, it's too far. She died now. Huh. We've gone too far now. He says, Jairus, don't be afraid. Only believe. See, you said if I came to your house and laid hands on her, she wouldn't die. She'd live. We're going to find what Jesus says when he gets there. We want to look at this. What Jesus said. We're going to find out Jesus follows Jairus' faith. It says, verse 39, when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. God's moving in the direction of what Jairus said. He said, you come, my daughter won't die. Jesus said, she ain't dead, she's sleeping. We can prove by the scripture she's dead. But see, God's not moved by what happens in the natural. He's moved by your faith. He's moved by your faith. You see, he was moved by Jairus' faith, not by the circumstance. God did not move by the circumstance. That's why he said, in other words, Jairus, when it's just stay steady. Don't change. Just keep her going. We got this. We got it. So Jesus said, she's asleep. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all aside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him. He said it entered where they were lying. So he turns around. You know what? He put unbelief out. See, sometimes I've learned this here. Sometimes going to the hospital. Sometimes you can't minister because so much unbelief of family members and stuff and things. And sometimes it's tough. You need to get rid of them. You need to get them out. See, we people don't understand this in the church. They think they can just be Mr. Faith or Mr. What. And so, man, you're fighting. I know when Wanda's grandfather was dying, years ago, and we went to the nursing home where they had him at. We walked inside and I said to Wanda, I said, you couldn't pray in this place. I said, death is running this room. I said, in here, these people, I said, there's so much unbelief in this place. I said, I got to get out of here. I can't stand it. I mean, they're all in there, man. You know, they should have had their shovels and everything there just digging the grave, because that's what spiritually was going on in the place. And I said, I got to get out of here. I said, ain't gonna do a good pray here. And you know, some of them were believers. Well, you know, to a point, anyhow. But you know, when something got bad and showed up, well, God showed up in my way home in the car, because there's two believers in the car, me and Wanda. And I'm talking to the Lord about this thing, and I just said and told the Lord that I said, this thing going on with my wife's family, I said, it's a mess. And I said, I hate to see this. This is my wife, and I hate to see, you know, going through this thing. And the Lord just clearly spoke to me. Driving on the Colebrook Road, just said to me, he said, You lay hands on him. He said, I'll raise him up and make his last days better than his first. He said, I can't do this for him, but I can do it for you because you asked me. Hallelujah. Learn to live a life of faith.
Amen.
He couldn't get it. Why? Because he couldn't get in faith. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get in faith. Hallelujah. And it worked. He lived 5 years more. Hallelujah. It worked. Glory to God. But see, I know it is. See, he put the unbelief out. Glory to God. And sometimes that's what you just got to do. But I want you to see this. So he said, what did he do? They ridiculed him. He entered. He went in. Verse 41, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. Now I just want to say with this, because of looking at it, this is what in Luke says this in Luke the 8th chapter about the same incident. And in 54 and 55 it says, but when he put them all outside, he took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. And then it says this, then her spirit returned to her. And she arose immediately, and he commanded she be given something to eat. So remember in James 2:26 says, for the body without the spirit's dead. See, she is dead. Her spirit came back to her. But Jesus was not moved by the circumstance of what was happening. He was only moved by the faith of Jairus. That's what God was moved by. That's what he was moved by, Jairus' faith. He's going along. God's saying, nope, she ain't dead. This guy said, if you come and lay hands on her. See, that thing was, in God's mind, that thing was set in motion when Jairus made the statement of faith to Jesus and Jesus headed there. It didn't matter what happened in the thing. The only thing that mattered to God, God's not moved in time. God sees her alive because his faith saw her alive and living. That's what he saw. What do you see? See, most people let their faith be guided by what they see. They step out in faith and what they see changes and they change. See, I learned when God told me that, I said, man, I said, I can see that. You set your faith. Don't be moved. See, that's how I got up and I said, I had a heart attack. I said, I'm going to go for a run. Why? Because see, I had my faith set. God's working from where I set my faith. That's the time frame that I'm in till this whole thing's fixed. That's where I'm at. See, you got to see yourself. Faith doesn't operate in time, and that we do hear from the earth, but faith is a spiritual principle and you got to get it fixed. God looks at when he says something's done, it's done, and it don't even look like it's done. But God said it's done. We got to get it in our mind. That's where faith lives, in that place. The eye of faith lives there. That's what the man of faith sees, that place. He doesn't see man's time in the earth from here to there. Everything stops concerning that faith thing when faith sets itself in that direction. Can you see that? That's what he did here. Jesus just set that thing like he bypassed that woman, right, went right over there. That's God in his movement in this thing. This is how God is set. See, we keep looking at God like a man. God is not a man. Hallelujah. Time-wise, it's not with God like it is with man. We gotta see him. We gotta make him big. We gotta make him outside of, you know, your faith gotta extend outside of what you and I are lame lives. That's what faith does. Faith reaches outside of the wisdom of men and the knowledge of men and what we think we can do or can't do or whatever. Faith, it hits its place in the place of the Spirit where you got something and it's yours no matter what happens in time in this earth. That's mine right there. I got it right there. That's mine. God's going to bring that to pass. I've watched people get sensational miracles. I've watched things happen through people. You know, I started off telling that story about that girl, back to it. She went to, that girl with the, when I was at camp meeting, her and her husband came to every morning service. And I'm going to tell you what, it had to be hard to get her there. There's other people had less problems than she did. They wouldn't show up. And Friday night, Wanda and I are down front. She comes in with her husband walking completely well. She got up every one of those mornings. She just stayed with it. They stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it. And she came in, she's get completely well. Her complexion was good. Her fingers weren't rotted. Her fingers were normal. She's come walking in. And I'll tell you what another knucklehead did. There was a knucklehead woman who got healed, walked out of here. Now, I don't think she got healed by her faith. I think she got healed by a gift of spirit. But here she comes. She got healed. Walked out of a wheelchair. Comes back the next night to service in a wheelchair pushed down front. I said, what are you doing in a wheelchair? She said, well, I wanted to get a good seat. If I'm in a wheelchair, I can sit down. And you know what? Till the meetings were over, she couldn't get out of the wheelchair. I told her, I said, don't do this. No, I knew it was coming. I knew it was. Hey, this puppy will get something from God. Don't mean they have any sense in their head at all. God will heal a fool. And he's done a lot of them. And they just go throw it away. I've learned things being around people. You learn things sometimes, and my God, what do you do? You know, you could almost become a pessimist. God's good. He don't do crazy. But people do crazy things. But see, I watch those things. People come. There was a guy came up. In fact, he came up to the Friday night meeting. He was a guy who was in his 80s. He walked in, and he had a cane. He walked in. He came up the handicapped section. He's walking, you know, he's got a pretty good limp and that stuff. He walked up. And so I'd always talk to people and say, what'd you come for? Because see, I want to get him to say the right thing. Then this older guy, he comes in there and he said, I drove up here tonight. He said, from Dallas. He said, I drove here from Dallas. And he said, I came up tonight. He said, I'm going to get healed and then I'm going home. So he said to me, I said, well, you'll get it. And he did. Mm-hmm. He got healed. They prayed for the sick. He got healed, walking just as normal. He went to leave and his cane was there. Said, you want your cane? He said, I want that thing. Completely different than the woman. Mm-hmm. But see, he came, and when I asked him, see, and I found this, most people, they were talking about, why are you here? Well, I got this problem. And they'll tell you what the problem is. They never make a statement of faith. Well, I came to this meeting because, praise God, I'm getting healed. No, I'm going to get prayed for and go home sick. See, you need a wonderful opportunity. We have an opportunity to make your case, make it, say it. Get it on your mouth. Hallelujah. I don't care if it does anybody else any good. Do yourself some good. Hallelujah. Keep yourself out there where you're saying things. Hallelujah. You know, we're like that. People today say, you know, well, your faith's a private thing. Well, it better be not private around you. Amen. Or it'll stay private. Hallelujah. We need to get around and saying the right thing. We see here with Jairus, and see, get the principle of Jairus where you come and think, when you step in that place of faith, that's where you're going to stay. Because God is at work. Now God is at work. He isn't at work. See, people say, well, you know, I got healed such and such, you know, a time and that stuff. Well, you know, when you release your faith, that's when it started. See, your healing or whatever it was, it started. If I'm believing God for something for financial, I believe when I ask, see if I believe it. See, it's already in the works. It's already working. It's already going on. It's already happening to me. Hallelujah. It's in the works. When it shows up, what surprise is that? Don't surprise me I'd get healed if I believe for it. It surely surprised me if I wouldn't. That's what would surprise me, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, see, not people today. We're taught, you know, well, if it don't happen, well, there's a purpose behind that. Yeah, it's called stupid. That's what it is. That's what's behind it. You don't understand faith. Don't know what it's about. You think, well, when I got healed, and see, I learned a thing. To me, it's no big deal that it shows up. The big deal is where you're starting. The big deal is what you believe in the beginning is happening to you. See, this woman, she got in that crowd because she's already in the mode of happening. She's in the crowd. She's in the crowd. She's moving toward it. She's heading to that thing. This is I'm going to go there, and when I make that contact, when I do that, in other words, that's the place she chose to release faith. See, we'll talk about the guy like the centurion. He said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. You just say the word, that's good enough, and I'm heading home. Jesus says, go get him, tiger. He gets home. Hey, my word, the servant's well. Who would have thought? What is it? And Jesus stops and says, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. Out of my covenant people, we have over here a guy who isn't in my covenant has more faith than the covenant people. Because he thought my word's good enough and I'll just go ahead. Yeah, you just say the word, it's going to be all right. See his actions? Oh, great faith has great actions.
Amen.
You want to see miracles? You better have miracle action.
Amen.
When you step out in your faith and you want something big, you better act like God's doing something big. You start acting like it's happening. See, that's one of the things that's me. It's like when I went out in that running thing. See, I'm going to tell you what. I believed in my heart I'd receive my healing. I can't die on the highway. The devil's yelling at me the whole way down through, and my flesh is telling me I'm nuts. But I'm going to tell you, the guy on the inside that gets the job done, he knows. He knows. He knows what's going on. See, I've learned to do this. When the Lord told me, he said, you believe in 1 Peter 2:24? And I said, yeah. He said, why don't you get out of bed and act like it? Well, that's no fun. It's a problem to do that. See, my body's saying, no, let's stay here. My body's talking to me, telling me what it wants to do. I have to decide, is in me greater? Is what I believe on the inside greater? Do I believe I really received something from God? Do I really believe He started? See, He started working on me as soon as I started to believe it. If I wouldn't have acted, I'd have killed my faith right there. That's what He told me. He said, if you stay in bed, you're going to be here sick all day. See, why don't He talk cute to you, Ed? I don't know. You see, how far do you want to go? You got to get this in your mind. How far do you want to go? How far do you want to walk this thing? What do you want to go with this? Hallelujah. It's just like Jairus. Man, right in the middle of faith, God's moving right toward it, and a guy comes and says, forget it, she's dead. Thank God he just stayed where he was. He stayed where he was, and God moved according to his faith, not according to what God wanted to do. God did it. Both of them, see, you need to understand this. Both of them received on the level they chose. You see that? They didn't. What happened in between or what was going on had nothing to do with it. See, we're so caught in this time frame and what we think is happening and going on. We get caught there. Folks, we're all in this game. We all put up with it all the time. We make a move of faith. And surely the devil's going to stick his nose in it, or he'll find somebody to. It's going to try to change it. But we have the choice. Are we going to stay where we stood in faith? Say, here, I got it. Not, I'm not trying to. If I stand in faith and something changes, does that mean I don't have it? But it does to most people. I must not have it. Oh, your faith didn't work here. God didn't start. See, get it in your mind. Get it in your thoughts. Get it in your mind. When I pray, when I believe I receive it, right now it's mine. I have it. I got it. Like when I tore the ligaments in my foot, that went on. I was supposed to go on a mission trip. I'm going to believe I received my healing. I ain't going to use this as a way to stay home and not go on the trip. You know? See, number one, I believe there's a demand on me for what knowledge I have on the areas of healing that I have to go ahead and go after it. See, I don't have a choice. I don't believe that. Because, see, you know, who much is given, much is required. There's a lot of knowledge I got in these areas God gave me. I believe He requires me to walk in. See, a lot of people, they want the benefit, but they don't want to be responsible. See, I believe I'm responsible. And it's just like, you know, well, the Lord didn't say, well, you know, Ed, You tore the ligament in your foot. Now you can't make that trip. You got to stay home. See, if I would have decided that, I'll tell you what. I'd have never got a miracle healing. I'd have healed over time. I'd have never got a miracle healing. It wouldn't have happened. Why? Because of my actions. I'm acting like this ain't, you know, I got to act like something's happening. And my first action was happening. Was this when Wanda said to me, when Wanda, you know, said, well, are you going to go on the trip? And so I said, yes, I'm going on the trip, because I said, God didn't say I wasn't supposed to. But I knew he told me to go on it. See, I can't, well, God, I'm just going to disobey you and not walk by faith. This is what I'm going to do. I ain't walking by faith. Because see, this happened to me, so therefore, I'm going to make the determination of what tomorrow is going to be like. This is what people do all the time with God. Something happens, and they just change. And then the next time they want their faith to work, things don't work. Well, what's wrong? You can't live a life like that. Pick and choose. No, I said, I have to go. God didn't change his mind. He didn't tell me not to go. And she said to me, because, you know, my foot is swelled up, and, you know, and I got this thing on it and all kind of stuff, and it's painful. I mean, it's a hurt. It's one of those throbbing pains, you know, like the fun ones, you know. And then you put pressure on it, it gets worse. And it's it. And she said to me, she said, do you want me to pack for you? I said, honey, you can't pack for me. I said, I believe I'm healed. I got to get up. I got to pack. I said, I believe I got my healing. See, I ain't telling you to do that. Getting up and moving around on a sore foot ain't faith. See, I believed I got it. I believe I have it. I believe it's mine. I really do. I believe my heart. And you know what? I got up and packed my clothes. I packed my stuff. And I will tell you what, I was never so happy to get off my foot. I sat on the sofa and just propped that thing up. It's like, oh, and it's going boom, 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 boom. You know what it is? Oh, we're having fun believing Jesus. I tell you, we're just, you know, this is the fight of faith. And I'm just telling you. It says it's a good fight, but never says it ain't fun. It's not fun. Hallelujah. So I go through the night. So, you know, next morning I'm feeling a little bit better, you know, when I got to leave for 5:30 at the airport till I get up and move around, start moving around on again. And so I take this boot thing off they gave me because I'm on the airport. I can't wear this thing, and this thing can't work at all. And, because number one, you go security, they're going to make you take it off, check, make sure you ain't got anything in it. So I stuffed my foot in a sneaker. I'd wrapped it tight with an eighth bandage so the swelling didn't just go, because I was moving around on it. I knew it's going to want to swell. So naturally, that's going to happen. You know? And I wrapped it tight with an eighth bandage and stuck my foot in a sneaker. Ugh, one of my running shoes. I said, boy, this is exciting. This is really fun. I can hardly wait to get to the airport. This thing, oh, God. You know, you're going through all this. Well, you know what, though? But I know on the inside, I'm healed. I'm doing the will of God. He told me to go on this trip. If God doesn't heal me, he's a fool. He's a fool if this don't work. He's a fool. Because he ain't going to get me to do it again. He'll tell me to do something. I'll say, nope, I ain't doing it. You didn't show up the last time. I don't have to. See, I learned this. If God don't show up, Ed don't have to show up either. He can't lie and I have to listen to him. I know he's got to show up in this thing. I was just sort of wishing it happened a little bit quicker. But I knew I had it. And I get to security, and they don't care that your foot. You got to take your shoe off. And I'm thinking, man, I take your shoe off, I got to put it back on the other side. And I had to put it on my forehead. I just, yeah, you know, you're this way, just going through it. Your mind's going this way. But no, praise God, I'm healed. So I took my shoes off, and I went through that thing and went through there, and it's like, oh, I got the other side set down and it's hurting. And I'm thinking the whole time, it's going to hurt more. I got to put it in this thing. And it kept coming to me, take the ace bandage off. See, this is where you got to learn to listen on the inside. It's just this thing, take the ace bandage off. Well, my natural mind is this, I take that bandage off, that foot's going, poof, that's going to swell instantly. You take that pressure off of there, it's going up. So that's what I'm thinking. So it comes up in me again to take that bandage off. And the thought comes to me, well, I can't do that. Oh, I don't want this thing swelling up. This thing swells up. We ain't getting the shoe on. I'm going to Mexico wearing an Ace bandage and no shoe. You know, I ain't getting that sucker back on if that swells up. That shoe wasn't that big. And this is going through me third time. Finally, take the Ace bandage off. And I thought, well, here we go. I'm going to take it. This got to be God. Take the Ace bandage off of it. And as soon as I got that off, bang, just like that, I was healed. My foot was just completely well. Stood up on it, walked around on it, standing there walking around, completely fine. But see, when did my healing start? It didn't start there. My healing started in my bathroom when I turned around and I tore that ligament in my foot, because that's when I stood. Right there is when I believed I received my healing. Right there. That's when it started. My healing started there. That's when I got it. Say, when did you get it? I got it. It showed up the next morning at, probably about 6 o'clock in the airport. It showed up. I sure glad it showed up. Hallelujah. Went down to Mexico on this trip, no farther than my problem with my foot at all. Hallelujah. See, it's getting yourself over. It's understanding when this thing starts. Most people's minds are when it shows up. They got all this, their focus is on the show up. No, the focus is on when you got it. Because that's when heaven is moving in the direction you believe. That's when the thing, if you're going to stop and change it, are you going to stop it and change it? See, don't do that. Don't stop it and change it. Get it? I got it. It's mine. I have it. It's working for me. Hallelujah. See, if you understand, you can understand the reason why I do what I do. It's because of what I believe. You don't do what I do unless you believe like I'm believing. And I'm just trying to teach you. See, you might not be able to, you might not start off, doing what I do, but get yourself in what you believe for to begin to act like what you're doing is working. See, Wanda and I learned that, with finances. When we started off, we didn't have a lot of money. We'd go to vacation. We'd turn around and we would believe God, we're going to receive such and such amount of money because we're going to go do this or that. We'd go around and tell people we're going to such and see. We had set dates. I always get a kick out of these people. Say, "Well, when the money comes, and then we'll plan." Well, just forget it. You ain't going to have no faith. That ain't faith. No, you got to have a period when you believe you receive it. I believe that money is mine now. So then we would start making plans to go that. We would tell people, such and such a time we're going to go and go do such and such. This is what we're going. We're going on vacation. We believe we received the money. We believe we had it. Amen. We believe God gave it to us. Well, and we have these plans. He ain't going to have it show up. You think I'm going to try to believe him the next time? Ain't no way. I don't understand these Christians that go through all this stuff they call faith and never works out and then go back to it again, try it. It's like, my God, why? This stuff works. I don't have to have a nickel in my pocket to use a credit card to make to go out here and make a reservation at a hotel. I can just do that without a nickel. I can go and call this, so we'd make reservations. We'd make all these plans. We'd have the plans of what we were going to do. We didn't have no money for it. Hallelujah. We believed we had it. I couldn't open my wallet and find none of it. You go down to the bank, there wasn't none of it there. But we believed we had it. And then we would act like we had it. We weren't writing bad checks. That ain't faith. That's stupid. You better know when you wrote that sucker, when they lock you up, don't call me. See, I'll come down and say, you having a good time? Was it worth it? Hallelujah. But we just do that. So what we'd have, we would begin to act like at that time, we got something. We got something. No matter how things looked in between, this is what we had. We believed this. Don't matter in between there. See, I learned to do that. I've learned to do things and that stuff. Is this when I went dealing with going down to Peru when I was at Raymond, that stuff, believing for the money. Didn't have no money. God told me to go on a trip. So how much money you need? I said, Lord, I'll believe for the money. And I said, Lord, now I know I'm believing. If it don't show up, I don't have to go. Don't matter to me, because I said, I ain't going to take my money. I ain't going to try to round up money to make this thing. I said, I'm not taking the family's money to do this thing. You told me to do it, You're my employer, and you're going to carry this thing. I ain't. So you got to get over this. This is what people do. They say, I'm believing God for something, and then they try to make it work. Well, now maybe I'll get a second or third job or something, and I'll just I'm going to try to make this thing. God don't tell you to do that. Don't do it. See, you just believe God. Hey, I sat and believed God. So I told the Lord, I said, well, you're going to have to make this thing work. I said, I ain't got time to do nothing, you know, and that stuff. And you're asking me for a nice chunk of money here, and here we are, you know. You're going to have to do it. This, I'm believing you receive it, so you're going to bring it in. And I can be honest about this. I never worried about if that money was going to show up or not. I never worried about a thing about it. Because it didn't matter to me. If it didn't work, it wasn't my problem. It was his. I didn't tell me to go. He did. This is that place we were singing about that rest this morning. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful place, isn't it? Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I pray you learned something. They got some wisdom in some areas today. Hallelujah. See, because the Lord wanted me to talk about these things. You know, you don't have to run here and do what I say. I mean, I've learned over practice over the years. And I got some years in this thing of doing this and practicing and finding out how God works in His kingdom. Is look at it. When we look at Jesus, when you look at Jesus and what He does and how He deals with people, you can understand how God, Jesus is always moving people to faith. Blind guys are saying, hey, heal me. He ignores them and walks and he goes into the house and they follow him in. See, did they really want it? These guys wanted it. Here's the American. I'm a fan. Oh, I talked to him and he walked off and left me. Oh. Well, if he was loving and really a preacher, he would have surely bowed to my needs. Jesus went into the house. There's two guys blind. Now, I'm sure in those days you could tell who was blind and who wasn't. And he says, what do you want? Here's the American. Well, it should be obvious to you. You walked off and left me. We got to come here. Don't you see we're blind? We can't see where we're going. And you don't care. What's he doing? Finding out if they have faith. He's pushing them. You got to have the faith to receive what you said you want. You going through, I'm going to tell you, if you're just a person who goes through the emotions of faith, you will never be a person of faith. You'll just destroy your own faith. Amen. Don't do that. Don't be a person who destroys your own faith. Don't do that. There's some people who have a hard time ever getting in faith because they never carry it through. They never, anything gets hard, they quit. They're quitters and they don't, you can't do that. The faith's a good fight. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a fight. It's a fight. You know? Your problems may not start till you got in faith. You thought you had trouble till you believed God. And then it seemed like every devil in hell came to visit you. Have you been there? Hallelujah. I know this. When the devil starts doing crazy things, I know I got it, man. I'm Amen. On this thing. I am on this Amen. Thing now. Hallelujah. He's mad. I'm happy. I'm in faith that he got mad. Amen. You know, you can tell a lot about what the devil does, how he acts to where you are. He keeps trying to convince you. See, I learned as a young Christian, got filled with Holy Ghost in my bedroom. Listen to Brother Hagin doing a teaching on baptism of the Holy Ghost. Knelt down beside my bed, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Talked in tongues. I did talking in tongues. Oh, and the devil just gave me a terrible time about talking in tongues. He was just on my case about this. So you're just making noises. You're just doing things. You know, you're just out here. He was on this the whole time. I'm sitting in a lunchroom. Your God used to visit me in the lunchroom at Reese's. I had more experiences with God in the lunchroom. I don't know what it was about that. I don't know. He'd come and visit in the lunchroom. And I'm sitting at the table. And there's other people sitting there at the table. But I'm just sort of thinking, and the devil's just taunting me. You're not doing nothing when you pray in other tongues. You're not doing anything. And all of a sudden, down here on the inside, a voice rose up and said, well, if you ain't doing anything, he'd be happy as crazy. Mm-hmm. He said, he wouldn't be taunting you about this. Amen. He'd be happy. He didn't be encouraging you to do it. Right. Hallelujah. Boy, when I got that, it made me so happy. Hallelujah. So I just talked in tongues all the more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't think it's weird. You step into the things of the Spirit, don't be surprised. The devil wants to come and take that wonderful thing. That thing you stood and believed for, and you, the day that you decided it was yours. Hallelujah. He's going to run and rip that out of your hand. Sometimes your own flesh does. Your own flesh, you never know, my flesh ain't always very patient. I don't like to wait, you know. I'm not one of these people that likes to endure pain, you know, that, well, I'll just put up with it. I'll just, you know. Some people, they go the whole life and just endure pain. And just, you know, they don't say anything about it. They just still go through the thing and endure it. I don't want to ever arrive there. I don't want to ever arrive at that place where you have a bad time and you're doing nothing about it. Just, well, we learned to get by. I don't want to ride. I don't want that get by life. I don't want that place. See, if you decide, I don't want that get by place. I don't want that place. You know, I hate having constant pain. And I feel terrible for people who are in that position. Amen. They're going through a tough time. It's a hard thing to do. Before we go, we're going to pray. I want to pray for Eileen Lozier before we go. Eileen, God has done a lot of wonderful things concerning her. I mean, she, you know, I was talking with Mike yesterday. He said the different doctors involved in all this, because really, I mean, she, from a medical science standpoint, she should not be alive. With all this, and you're still here because of what happened to her. But anyhow, things are coming along, and see, this is one of the things, you're in a battle, and understand this about a person. You can get in battles where, I mean, it gets hard to stand because of what person can go through physically, endure, and what you endure. And she said, there's been really good things. They had checked her heart's good. She has now that her blood pressure is normal, and she doesn't have to be on any blood pressure medication. She's also, they had her on insulin and that stuff. She's not on none of that now. She's off of it. And there's other things in her body that are straightened out, but she still has some other major things going on. And Mike just said they're taking her off. One of the things that she was having a lot of trouble with, fluid building up in her body, but one of the medications they had her on, because of how bad things had gotten, he said is one of the side effects is the building up of fluid in her. And because she does have kidney failure, and she's on dialysis. She's on that. But and dialysis, that there's part of what they do is taking fluid out of the body and things. But her fluid builds up quickly. And so, but Mike said they just on Friday took her off of this medication. So they expect some things to be helpful there so she don't get this buildup in fluid. And we understand this is what doctors do sometimes. You know, sometimes things, medications may cause some problems, but the person may need it to stay alive. It may cause other problems, but it's what necessarily. And we just appreciate all that the doctors have been able to do. She's had really good doctors. And I mean, these doctors recognize the fact that, you know, there was a miracle going on. The fact that she's alive is a miracle thing. So we appreciate it. But we just want to pray for her because, you know, you put up with this battle all the time, and this thing's going up. It's like, and you maybe go to sleep at night, when you wake up in the morning, it's there, and you're going through this thing, and it's like she has, you know, with her dialysis during the week, her schedule is so full of things with her dialysis. Then she has her therapist come in, I think, 3 times a week or something like that. And she has a nurse practitioner comes in, and then she has these other appointments. It's just a constant going. You're doing this stuff here, and it's going on. She's a whole lot better than she was. I mean, when she was in ICU, she's in bad, bad shape. And to see, you know, God's working, and this is the whole thing. But, you know, I want to pray for her concerning, because what you deal, the pressures you deal with and under this that are weighing on you all the time, that there's things, you know, because these can be very hard psychologically to people. So we want to pray for her in this area before we go today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we want to thank you so much, Lord God, because you are the God of great love and mercy and kindness. If anybody we can come to, if anybody we can approach, hallelujah, who has an interest that we know more than anyone would be you. Our Father, you're just so wonderful and good because you proved yourself by sending us your wonderful Son, Jesus. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Father, we know your love for us and your love for Eileen and your care and concern. And we just thank you, Father, because definitely we can see your wonderful hand has been at work. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for her recovery, because truly, Lord God, it is working. Hallelujah. Her recovery is working in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We want to thank you. Things are happening, Lord God. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, in this terrible situation that still, Lord God, that people can see. that there's been a miraculous hand at work, and we just appreciate that so much. But Father, the pressures and the things that Eileen is going through, Father, we just pray and lift her up to you in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, because we pray concerning dealing with her soul, with her mind and her will and emotions. Father God, there's so much going on and driving against her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we stand with our faith, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to strengthen her with might by the Holy Spirit in her inner man, so that Christ dwells in her heart by faith, that she's rooted, grounded in your love, Lord God. Hallelujah. That she knows for sure of your love and confidence, Lord God, in that love. Lord God, hallelujah, that your hand, Lord God, is upon her, no matter how it looks, Lord God, that she sees and knows, Lord God, that you're working. And you said that you do exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think. And I thank you that you're working mightily on her behalf, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for giving her mind rest in the name of Jesus. Giving her mind and her thoughts, Lord God. Hallelujah. That her mind and her thoughts are stayed on you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you're rising up big in her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you she's being able to focus and stay focused, Lord God. Hallelujah. On your good work that you're doing in her. And the work that you started, you'll bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just say we want to thank you for that. Father, your love will never fail her. Your love, Lord God, is working mightily on her behalf. And we just say thank you, Father God. Thank you so much. Father, if anybody's hands we can put her in, it is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you'll always do good. And we just say thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. For all that you're working and doing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.